This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com welcoming you back to the New World next week. That video series where James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com and I break down and contextualize the hard-hitting news stories of the previous week and look forward to what's coming up the next week. And it's been a couple of weeks off for us as I've been on hiatus at the Corbett Report, working on a couple of projects behind the scenes that are just about ready to launch. So please stay tuned to CorbettReport.com for that in the next few days. And of course, there will be a new Corbett Report episode for the podcast episode will be being released on Sunday. So again, you can look forward to that. And the videos will be returning to their regular schedules. So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode of The New World Next Week. James Evan Pilato, what do you have up for us first?
Well, wouldn't you know it, terror strikes the town I live in. I'm coming to you from Portland, Oregon. So my headline, Portland tree bomber plot brings homegrown paranoia to Oregon. And we'll take this from our own Oregonian, who I'm sure smell another Pulitzer. The FBI thwarted an attempted terrorist bombing in Portland's Pioneer Courthouse Square before the city's annual tree lighting Friday night, November 26th, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Oregon. A Corvallis man, thinking he was going to ignite a bomb, drove a van to the corner of the square at Southeast Yamhill and 6th and attempted to detonate it. However, the supposed explosive was a dummy that FBI operatives supplied to him, according to an affidavit in support of criminal complaint signed Friday night by U.S. Magistrate Judge John V. Acosta. Muhammad Osman Muhammad, 19, a Somali-born U.S. citizen, was arrested at 5:42 p.m., 18 minutes before the tree lighting was to occur, on an accusation of attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. The felony charge carries a maximum sentence of life in prison. The arrest was the culmination of a long-term undercover operation during which Muhammad had been monitored for months as his alleged bomb plot developed. The device was in fact inert and the public was never in danger, according to a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office. Osman appeared in court this past Monday here in Portland and pled not guilty, and he has his court-appointed public defenders, and they are pointing out, as others such as Lynn Greenwald and all around the world literally, that this is entrapment. They funded and trained and gave him the weapons to use. This is another case in a long line of trumped-up terror charges that take unfortunate, low-level, low-education kids who are wannabes, essentially. And you have to ask the question, what if a basketball coach or some other hobby or outlet came to him and expressed some kind of interest? He could have been just into that as he got into this fake terror bust. James, the other thing I'll tie in before I throw it back to you, because of course I can't quite express for you how, of course, huge this story is being in the city I'm in. This now brings up the question whether or not Portland will rejoin the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which our city pulled out of in 2005, mostly because of the rightful mistrust of the Bush administration. Now, of course, there's guys with D's after their name, and we're going to see, unfortunately, and that's going to be a phone call very soon to my city representatives, to not rejoin the Joint Terrorism Task Force. James, what's your take on this story thousands of miles away?
Well, James, let's play a game. Let's take turns naming clueless patsies that have been funded, trained, equipped, radicalized, or otherwise empowered by the FBI. And I'll start. Miami 7.
We also had the Portland 7.
Ooh, how about the Fort Dix 6?
How about the Liberty City 7?
Oh, good one. How about the synagogue bombers?
The recent New York?
Yeah.
See, now I'm stumped. But
Houthi course. Militia. You could go into Nichols and McVeigh. You could go into Ahmad Salam. I mean, it's unfortunately not a game, obviously, and it's not even that funny, but it just goes to show that this is just a pattern that we've seen time and time and time and time again, and doubtless will continue to do so. So absolutely nothing new here, and absolutely, it's a way of railroading Portland and trying to get them back on the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and people in the Portland area have to stand up against that.
And hopefully that's going to happen. I either found folks had no idea about the story or knew all about it and said, yeah, that seems kind of shady. Now, of course, I've been doing a lot of work on this, and I'm going to do more on my upcoming episode this coming Friday. But I was also on my friend Clyde Lewis's show of groundzeromedia.org, which he has a show on KUFO here in Portland of nearly 100,000-watt station. So we were on this Sunday night broadcasting to hopefully tens of thousands of people about put-up FBI operations, including World Trade Center 93 to the tree bomber.
There you go. That's pretty much it. So nothing new here, but we'll see what comes of it, just like we'll see what we've seen what came of the underwear bomber from last year and that complete hoax, which is now taking over the daily lives of Americans as they try to fly anywhere. So we'll just see what comes of this. At any rate, let's move on to story number two.
For story number two, we're going to move to one of my sister sites, cyberspacewar.com, for a story that we'll take from PCMag.com. Government seizes domains alleged to infringe copyright. The U.S. government has shut down several sites, several meaning dozens and dozens and dozens. Beginning again, the U.S. government has shut down several sites apparently suspected of either linking to or providing access to copyrighted materials. Visitors to torrentfinder.com and other sites were met with a notice that the site's domain name had been shut down by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, Homeland Security Investigations Department, pursuant to a seizure warrant that would apparently be issued by a judge in the future. It was unclear how many sites the ICE took down or otherwise took over, with Torrent Freak publishing a list of sites that had been taken down. If that list is accurate, only a few apparently disseminated links to BitTorrent trackers, the master index, and for folks who maybe have never done BitTorrent, it's online file sharing, but it's decentralized. And I discovered this when I went Sunday night to go download my new episode of The Simpsons that ISO Hunt said, you've been blocked due to a U.S. court order. But continuing from PCMag.com, ICE Office of Homeland Security Investigations executed court order seizure warrants against a number of domain names. As this is an ongoing investigation, there are no additional details available at this time. The move appears to be completely independent of COICA, COICA, the Combating Online Infringement and Counterfeits Act, making its way through the U.S. Senate, which I'll make another Oregon reference. Our own Senator Ron Wyden has done his bit to hopefully block this COICA Act. James?
Maybe I'm biased because I'm a webmaster myself, but I think of the stories that happened during our hiatus, this for me is, I think, one of the most important, not necessarily insofar as the sites that got affected by this, but certainly insofar as the ramifications of this are just so incredibly huge, because I'm not exactly clear on the details of how they went about doing this, but from what I understand, it was not the hosts, the domain hosts or registers that were involved in this. It was actually ICANN itself that was changing the domain name registration at ICANN. And so they were actually going behind the infrastructure of the internet in order to seize these domains, which is extremely chilling, I think, for the precedent that it sets and the way that the government will be able to step in in the future. And now, of course, it's for copyright violations and fake merchandise and things like that, which I guess are clearly illegal according to the laws of the land as they are now, so no one can complain, right? But it's obvious that this type of move is only to set up a precedent so that the government can move in against whatever they deem to be illegal in the future.
So before we move to our third and final story, as I was searching around to get some updates and some other contextual info for our stories on this episode, we'll throw one last question into the stew from thedomains.com. Why hasn't the government seized the domain name WikiLeaks.org?
I was thinking the exact same thing, but we
we'll
know
have
that,
to leave
yeah,
that.
Well.
And we won't go there today.
No, we won't.
All so, right. Having said that, let's move to our third and final story, and we'll move to one of my other sister sites, foodworldorder.com, and we'll take this originally from Natural News. Despite massive protests, Senate passes food safety bill, and we'll throw in the question of mass protest, but the new Food Tyranny Act, also known as the Food Safety Modernization Act in the U.S. Senate, has been passed by the Senate. That would be Tuesday, November 30th. It would give the FDA vast new powers to criminalize and imprison farmers and food producers while doing absolutely nothing to address real root problems of the food contamination issue, such as factory animal farm operations, which are regulated under the USDA, not the FDA. The bill passed 73-25 with Senator Tom Coburn, a Republican out of Oklahoma, emerging as the greatest voice of reason in the debate. His last-ditched amendment to reduce the scale of the bill was, of course, defeated. We have links for you to Senate.gov so you can see the official full vote record. Interestingly, notably, there wasn't a single Democrat who opposed the bill, again, such as my aforementioned Ron Wyden. And you'll see that your Congress critters can be right on some things and yet so wrong on many others. I did find one update just a few hours ago from the Associated Press. SNAFU could stall food safety bill. Food safety legislation that passed the Senate by a commanding margin is now threatened by a procedural SNAFU that could give Republicans opportunity to block it. This ties in with Steny Hoyer and all of our other Congress critters playing the games of we're going to block your legislation, and it relates to the Bush tax cuts and on. James?
Well, I just feel absolutely terrible for Americans and out there. Obviously, I'm not American. I don't live in America. But if there's any clearer sign that you have been completely taken over and usurped by corporations than something like this, I don't know what it is. And maybe just Americans out there, if I can add some international flavor to the story, maybe they should just reflect on the fact that this really does not exist in Japan or in Canada or in other countries around the world. I mean, it really is just a product of just how far down the hole that America has fallen from the freedom that once pertained in the country that was once the liberty, the beacon of liberty around the world. So it's a very, very sad state of affairs. And of course, it's not the American people that are doing this. It's the vested corporate interests and the puppet masters behind the scenes. So it's just terrible. And I hope there is some way to procedurally block it or do something to stop it before it's implemented. But if not, I think people will have to resist this. And there's no better form of nonviolent resistance than growing food and giving it to people or doing that type of thing. So I think it's necessary to do that. But I thought probably the most telling and just sad part of the whole thing was the last sentence that was posted in that little excerpt that you posted on this story, which is basically just to say there were no Democrats whatsoever that voted against this. So if there are any left-wing people in the audience, please wake up.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, our three stories this week kind of paint a rather dark scenario. James, before we get out of here, and we're just about out of time, I want to show you something that I didn't tell you about off mic. And this is why we thank a lot of the folks who send things, who comment, who share the stories, who get all this information out. Because, again, this is independent, corporate-free, alternative media. I got something in the mail in my post office box from Persons Unknown, postmark San Jose, California. But the note says, your sample of new U.S. currency. Enjoy. Now, if you can see that, they have their stamp of CorbettReport.com coming out of the mouth of George Washington.
That is beautiful.
So one bright note there for you.
Well, thank you to whoever did that. Well, there you go. There's another way of resisting. And that is a good way. Not obviously just Corbett Report, but putting other types of things on the currency is a good way of resisting and trying to wake other people up to the agenda and how it's really unfolding. So we ought to do what we can when we can, while we can.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.